Okay, cool. Let's open it up for a Q&A. Any questions that you want to pose to Chris, Andy, before or as we are fielding questions from the audience?
Yeah, let's take a few questions. Whoever, I don't want to step on anybody, but
Flint certainly sent me a text. He's like, mind blown. Emoji.
Well, I love you, Flint.
That was Flint?
That was Flint, yeah.
I should have spent more time hanging out with you at Best Ever.
What blew your mind, Flint?
The whole tycoon invest thing. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. So I'm going to go to the website and knowing you, you got videos out there. You've got plenty of content so I can digest and wrap my head around it, but it's really intriguing.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Flint. One quick thing. We took the company over in January. We kept on the original founder as a minority partner. He's very excited at what we're going to be doing with the company. And he's going to start helping us out. We're going to completely revamp everything. As you know, Flint, how we do it. Right now, it's not really relevant. Go there, there's good content, but it's nothing like what it's going to be. What's relevant is what we can do for you as an investor trying to raise money. That's what's relevant. And it works. My only requirements are that you have raised at least $1 million. That could be you and your team or on your own. Because if you can't raise money, this will do you no good, right? Because while we have 25,000 or so subscribers, soon to be 100,000, that's our goal short term, they are not going to be your primary source of investor. It's going to be your network. Now, we'll give you some guidance and some guidelines on marketing, things of that sort, but you are going to be driving your people into this platform. We are really just the governing body that is SEC and FINRA approved to allow you to list your offering and guide you through that process, if you will, right? But yeah, it blew my mind, Flint. I mean, we had great success with it, and I'm really excited to bring it to the world. It's going to be awesome. And our cost basis is pretty much lower than everybody because it's my friends, my family, all you guys. I mean, I want to give everybody a great value and just help everybody rock and roll their deals. So yeah, thank you.
I'll jump in.
Hey, Chris.
Good to see you, Chris.
Hey, what's up, man? Good
stuff. Yeah, and I've got a follow-up question to one of my concerns that you already addressed. That is, you know, you go out there, you start a fund, you start raising capital, but you're going to need to deploy that. So it's not just sitting there. Well, there's plenty of other people you can deploy capital on their deals. So my follow-up question there is, in this market today, if you're raising capital, are you still the belle of the ball, or is there some competition to deploy that fund capital with the good deals that are available?
Krenlin, thank you for that question. And by the way, you look very sophisticated today. It's good to see you again. The first thing is, remember, in our platform, you could set the term at 6 months or a maximum of 12 months, right? But when you're raising with us, as long as your expectation is set with the investors, hey, here's what we're doing. Once that's closed, right, and we close out your offering and you send a few documents into the SEC, that money comes over to you now. However long you hold on to that is up to you, as long as your investors' expectations are being met, right? So you could have this thing for years. I don't know, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. The crowdfunding can only be open for 12 months per the SEC, right? Now, as far as deploying the capital, again, what's great about this model is, I mean, again, raise of hands, anybody ever needed some risk capital or like needed to get things rolling or needed to show proof of funds, right? I mean, believe me, I was there 4 years ago. It's like, hey, where's your money? Oh, well, I got 3 million sitting right here and we're just sourcing the right deal, right? Or you're jumping on with someone, you're taking 30% of their deal. You're going to help manage it, of course, to be compliant, right? But now all of a sudden you bring a lot of value because you have built this out based on the types of syndications they do. Now, I encourage people to identify their partners well in advance and vet them and all of that, because you're bringing your trusted investors into a deal, right? And you also want to say, these are the kinds of deals we partner on, not that we are syndicating on our own, because that's misleading, right? In your fund terminology. But you have so much flexibility, guys, in this space. All you got to make sure you do is be compliant when you're out in the world. I'm going to give you a quick example. We will give you guidelines on how you can market. What you don't want to do is go out on Facebook and say, hey, we are guaranteeing you a 2x equity multiple. That's silly, right? You can say though, hey, we have an offering on tycooninvest.com. That's our platform for all investors. Here's the type of whatever. You could put some terminology. We'll guide you through that. Now you drive them in there, right? You want to just be careful that you're not saying things that are misleading. Now, what the SEC does, this is what's really cool about our site. We are your firewall to the SEC and FINRA. They are all up in my business constantly. They will randomly pick emails out of my personal emails and they'll just audit them and say, why did you say this? Or what's this all about? Or we saw something on your website. And I'm like, yeah, but you already approved that page. Yeah, but another compliance officer did that. I have a question about this one line. I'm not kidding you. and I have to explain it or rewrite it for them. That's how much we're scrutinized. That's why you want to use a platform like Tycoon, because you don't have to worry about any of that. You just have to worry about the guidelines we give you and staying within those lanes, and you'll be just fine.
How much does it cost to put a deal on your platform, or do you, can you put multiple deals? What are the different packages, or tell us a little bit about pricing and how that works?
Yeah, I'll give you what we're going to do right now, just as a special for like the next 60 days. I say like the next 60 days, because I'm going to be speaking. Actually, if you don't mind, shameless plug, Flint's going to be speaking at Dan Hanford's event, right? Yeah. The multifamily investor conference. I'll be speaking there as well, Flint. And you got a discount code Sterling Rhino if you want to save $200 off his attendance. Pretty cool. Discounts for the show. So I was just at Best Ever and we did a discount code. So if you sign up in the next couple of months, we're just rolling off of the show I was just at. Again, I was chatting with Flint there about it. It'll cost you $12,500 for all the legal setup. So right now, if you're going to go and we're going to do your PPM, your fund setup, your SEC filings, compliance, all of that, it'll cost you $12,500. Okay. That's basically what you pay for setting up funds and things of that sort. Then after that, your cost of capital ranges anywhere from 2 to 3%. Once we get rolling. And if you're interested, just fill out the form online and set up a call with me and we can talk about it. It's not a big deal, but that's the cost of capital as you raise. So when we do a rolling close, okay, we take our fee out of that. So the upfront fee covers all your legal, your setup, all your other stuff. We help you with designing your offering on the platform and all that. And then the ongoing fee is actually how we get paid, right?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey,
thanks.
Question. So what is the experience like on the investor side? They come into Tycoon Invest. Is it a marketplace or they're just isolated to our fund? Like what do
they
see?
Yeah, very good. Very good question. Thank you. I'm going to be very careful about who I put on our platform. There are some platforms you go out there, there's like 1,000 people, there's 100 people, there's all these deals where everyone's butchering each other. We're going to stay primarily focused on commercial real estate. We'll have a couple one-offs that were already in the hopper, but primarily real estate. I'll have a handful of syndicators, maybe 3, 4, 5 syndicators that are doing value add, maybe a couple of people in hotel conversions, a couple of people in build to rent, maybe a couple developers, things of that sort, mobile home storage. That way it's diversified, right? Now, if someone comes into Tycoon off of our advertising, because we'll be advertising, right? We can't advertise a deal except for when you launch. We're approved to do that by the SEC. When you launch, hey, so-and-so just launched a deal, check it out. Once we move beyond that, we can only advertise Tycoon Invest. So we'll be driving those investors in. When they're coming in, they're going to see the other offerings on there, right? Now, remember, they can only stay open for 12 months. Some people will raise their money and close out early. So then once they're off, they're off. They come off and they're not on there anymore. So they might see several people on there. But when we share your private link with you and you post it on your website, you drive people to it, it's your link, your custom URL where they're going to only your offering, right? Now, of course, Tycoon has to stay up in the top left corner of the page. So could they click it and go to our main page? Sure. But I can tell you from experience, I only had like literally two, maybe three people out of all our investors even question, well, what's Tycoon? What is this thing? Oh, it's our crowdfunding platform. It allows us to be SEC compliant. Oh yeah, it's great. That's how you were able to invest, Mr. Non-Accredited Investor. Oh, that's awesome. Cool. That was it. Like there was not even really a question.
Okay.
Bethany was asking about your contact info. I threw in tycooninvest.com into the chat and I'm saying it out loud for the audience that's listening just via audio, and sterlingrhinocapital.com. If you guys can't spell that, just Google it. It took me right there. All right. Who else has a question for Christopher? Or Chris, if you have any other links that you want to put in there, please put those into the chat or let us know what those are. Bethany.
Sorry. I raised my hand, but I'm so technologically unsavvy. You remember that about me, so that's all good. In regards to your Tycoon Invest, I'd really like you to speak to, and I think there's value in this because crowdfunding isn't new. And there are many companies that are doing this, and some have done it well, some have gotten trouble. So if you're looking at it, like you just said, you're speaking to, I'm going to stay in the commercial real estate lane. I'm not necessarily going to open it up to anybody who wants to do crowdfunding because it is a way to protect you in that. Some of these other ones, what they're touting, right, is that, oh no, you need to go with us because we're going to be marketing your deals for you, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you're very careful to just state that, you know, look, this is your investors and this is your, you know, people that this is going out to. It's just an alternative. And they're promo or their big call to fame is, no, we're marketing it to everybody and we're marketing on your behalf. And so we're worth that money because, but doesn't that also put you at risk? Because aren't they also kind of becoming a little bit non-compliant there?
Yeah, Bethany, thank you for that. It's a fabulous question and topic. Full disclosure, I am not an attorney. I am not dating an SEC approved agent. Here's what I'd tell you. What I have found with the SEC and FINRA is there is a lot of gray area. Now, they encourage you to never dance in the gray area, right? But there's a lot of gray area. There are very specific laws and rules, just like any other laws and rules. I used to be a reserve officer, so I can tell you, even in the rewritten codes for states, you read stuff and you're like, but wait a minute. And then there's a case study and it goes back and forth. Here's the deal. I was encouraged by the SEC and FINRA, do not promote specifics as tycoon. Okay, tycoon should not promote specifics because there could be favoritism, why one deal over another deal, et cetera. When we launch, we can announce we have a new offering by so-and-so, but there's very specific rules on what we can do beyond that, right? Now, that's not to say that we can't guide you on how you can promote and do your thing. And that's not to say that we're not going to be driving a lot of people into our platform, because our success is your success, right? So we're going to be advertising. We're going to be driving new eyeballs to the site. But are we going to be advertising? I'm just going to say Bethany's Multifamily Fund. No, on an ongoing basis, we're not going to be advertising as Bethany's Fund. Now, I can tell you from like CrowdStreet and some of these other companies, I do get ads from them on specific offerings, right? Like, you know, some sort of e-vehicle or some sort of thing they're crowdfunding for. And it could be because they're going through a Regulation A versus a crowdfunding site. That could be because they could file Reg A's. We could do that too. It's a little bit different. Or it could be that the sponsor is paying for that and doing it, and the site is just facilitating the artwork. Who knows, right? There's lots of ways to do it. But I can tell you this, my COO, Paul, is a stickler for legal and detail. And there is no way we're going to put us or our, we call them issuers, which would be listing folks wanting to issue their deal, or our non-accredited or accredited investors at risk. No way. It's not worth it. So we'll be very specific. We outline all those rules for you guys. You can take it for what it's worth. There's all kinds of suggestions on how you should market it per our approved SEC guidelines, right? And then you guys can take it from there. I hope that answers it.
Well, and it just brings up a second question then. Can you explain a little bit more about the difference between what you're doing and a Reg A offering? Because I thought they were the same.
Well, yeah, I'll give you a little bit because this could get into a deep conversation. But Reg A is generally a fund that has very high requirement, like high cost. It costs you a lot of money to follow the rules and regulations because there's a lot of reporting on a Reg A. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's all this SEC compliance and approvals and stuff. It's expensive. Right. So Usually only larger syndicators or even, you know, groups like some of the sites I've mentioned will do that. We've considered it. We can buy, because we're a crowdfunding site approved, we can actually buy a license to do Reg A, and we could issue that. We're not there yet. We don't see the advantage quite yet. Also, it's for companies that want to raise, say, $75 million in like a 12-month period. Right. So if you want to raise a lot of money, you might want to do a Reg A, going out to the public, accredited, non-accredited. A CF fund is great if you only want to raise, let's say, $5 million. Right. And it costs you a lot less. And there's way less micromanaging, if you will. Let me give you an example. All you have to do when you close is you have to file what we call an annual report and basically an update on how your fund's going. So like once or twice during your raise, you just fill out a real easy form on the SEC website. It's the SEC Edgar site. And you just tell them what's going on with your fund. Oh yeah, I raised this much. Here's where I am, blah, blah, blah. And then when we close it, you do the same thing. Hey, I closed it. The fund is done. Da, 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 da. This is this. I mean, it's pretty basic. And then you do the accounting on your side. So if your CPA is already handling all your accounting, they just do it on the CF fund as though it was a syndication. It's not a big deal. Reg A, totally different animal. A lot of costs and regulations and guidelines that are different. That's the short story.
No, well, and thank you. That helps me because I thought they were the same. So now that I'm understanding they're different and why they would be different, it's a different purpose vehicle. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal stuff. All right. So we're going over a little bit. So I'm going to invite anybody, if you have to go, feel free. You're not going to offend anybody. We are going to separate this into two distinct videos. One, which is the question and answer session, and that's going to be put on the YouTube channel. And then, of course, the general session that we did in the beginning will also be a separate podcast and be released as a separate video. But for anybody that has additional questions, feel free to stick around. I have some more questions. I'd love you to elaborate a little bit on how do you suggest people do marketing when they create a fund on your platform, or can you give us some pointers on that, just out of curiosity?
Absolutely. And by the way, I don't know what your time's like, but I have nothing going on after this. So if you guys need to go a little over, let me know. I love it. I'm here to help. Regarding the crowdfunding and marketing, what we did personally to have success is we had regular newsletters, right? Letting people know that we had this new option for them to get in, right? That was not constrained by time, which they love. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute. They're not going to invest if you say there's no time constraint, right? But we didn't want to smoke and mirrors anybody. We wanted to be upfront and say, hey, we're raising for these deals. We're going to start bringing money in. It's first come, first serve. So you can wait or you can jump in now. And it was never a problem, right? We advertised on social media. And I'm going to just give you a couple of quick tips. Really important with your marketing. We not only put Facebook ads out that had our offering on there, but we would list forms in Facebook, right, that people could fill out Q&A to, that would then link to our CRM. So not only did I have them on Facebook, but they were now brought into an automation in my CRM that would then start a line of communication with them, right? And if they were non-accredited, I would tell them, hey, thanks for coming. You know, you can learn some more about our company, but if you're interested in investing, you must go here, right? It's very specific. We don't want to start crossing that gray line, right? So we guided all of them to go to Tycoon to learn about the offering or whatever. Now, the only rule with crowdfunding is if someone has a question, they have to ask it on the public forum for everyone to see. So there's an area there where they can ask a question. You as the issuer or sponsor have to answer that question publicly. Hey, I'm curious why you're doing development. You just answer the question real quick. Now, this is where it got a little gray. What if that person now is in, they filled out the portal access, they can see the deal in Tycoon, they want to invest, they found your name because it's all over the offering, and now they want to reach out to you directly. Well, they won't really give me a yes or no, but they've also acknowledged that all these investors are going to be your investors when this closes anyway. So it's really, they're encouraging you to take the questions on the site and do everything above board the way they have the guidelines set. But there's nothing stopping these folks at some point, as long as they're in our portal and signed up and interested and moving through the process, to then going back and forth with you to some degree. They just encourage it to be done publicly on the website per the SEC's guideline. We did tracking, we did automations, we did forms, we did newsletters, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube videos, website videos. We did everything we could possibly think of to educate people. And we brought investors in from everywhere. It was great.
So this is something, a service that you provide, or at least some guidance that you provide when somebody launches a fund with Tycoon Invest?
Yeah, what I tell folks is this: I'm not a marketing company and I don't want to nickel and dime people. I don't have time for it. And I want you all to be successful, right? So I'm not trying to make a business out of that. But absolutely, we have an onboarding call after you sign your documents. And that onboarding call is to discuss your offering and discuss your landing page that we're going to be helping you build on the site, which is basically you could just take a PDF if you already have it and just put it on there and it separates it and everything. And then we'll also talk a little bit about marketing, right? I'll give you some guidelines and forms and things like that, some flow charts and some tips and tricks, but we'll just have a one-on-one 30-minute hour call. What do you guys need? What are you thinking? And I'll answer anything you need, right? Absolutely. It's all included in it.
Okay. Anybody got a question? Cause I have a few more that I'm going to rattle off here, and I'd like to give people a chance to get in while they can. If not, I'd love to hear, do you do administration of the funds, or do you provide that service, or recommend any particular fund administrator to manage the K-1s and the accounting?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I have 4 CPAs on my team because it's really hard to find one that can handle all the business. We have so many transactions going right now. It's craziness. And as we all know, it's hard to find really, really good people that have capacity, right? So we have folks we can send you to as you get in if they have capacity, absolutely. But this is no different than a syndication. We don't want to overcomplicate it. It's really just a PPM, a legal structure, and a sort of syndication, if you will. It's not that complicated. It's just being compliant as you have your offering live. That's complicated, right? That's why you have us. But as far as the offering and the taxes and K-1, simple. What happens is when you close your offering, you have a choice with us. We're just still setting this up. but you can stay in our platform and we can bolt on. This is an added cost because this requires some additional cost on our part, but we can bolt on a CRM for you to manage and distribute funds to your investors and run things as though you had a Syndication Pro, an AppFolio, et cetera, if you so desire. Most folks I deal with have a CRM to do all that. And in that case, we just send you the contacts for the investors, send you the money, and now you go, you're on your own. At the end of the year, when it's all done, your CPA just does the K-1s and you're off and running with your tax return. Pretty straightforward. So there's some options there.
Okay. So my partner, Richard Wilson on the Capital Research, I'm not sure if you knew that Richard actually owns this. So he's a big proponent of creating a founder message video on the front of your main website. Tell us about the company that created yours and if you would be interested in telling people why it's so important to have something like that. Are you of the same mindset?
I am 100% of the same mindset. And it took us a while. We had a general like explainer video of my partner and I. And then at one point we had like a graphic video, but we just didn't feel like it told the story. So I hired a local production company. It probably cost me $2,500, right? And we had actors come in. And I was there and we went to construction sites and we did all these cool things to show people what I was doing as the CEO with the company, right? And we were telling the story of exactly what we do. I felt it was very powerful. We've had a very good response from it. I don't know what kind of response we had from our original videos because nobody ever really gave us feedback, right? So it's not that you can't do that. Just make sure you have a good background, good sound and good video, right? The company I have is local, so it'd probably be too expensive for you to bring them out to where you are. But that doesn't mean you can't hire a local video company. Say, hey, what would you charge me if I came out to your sound room? And if we went on site and did a few things, if you're doing value add, go to a building and kind of show people what you do, right? That's all. That's kind of what I'm thinking would work for pretty much anyone. It doesn't have to be specific to what I did. We talked about a lot in my video. We talked about how to invest, the investor platform. We talked about development, talked about mindset. I mean, there was a lot in there. You don't have to do that. You can watch my video to get an idea of what I did. See if it fits for you.
I can tell that was a subtweet from Ruben with me, but I got to jump. Christopher, you've been fantastic, man. I really appreciate this value. Feel free, everybody, to stay on, but I just got to get another call.
That's great, man.
All right, cool, Andy.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for hanging out. All right, good stuff. What about the importance of a COO? Because a lot of scaling syndication companies have like the original three or four ladies and gentlemen that get together, they take down a deal, and as they're scaling and bringing on employees, they have never managed. We were kind of touching on this a little bit earlier in the presentation here, but you know, a COO, you mentioned that you have one. For some of these syndicators that get together, they don't have one. What's the importance of going out and finding somebody that can get everybody on the same page and organize the direction of the company?
Yeah, very good question. My COO became my partner very quickly. There was so much value in what he brought to the table. We just dropped, you know, any potential egos, conversations about money, any of the stuff that gets in the way all the time and said, man, you can bring a lot of value to my life. I can bring a lot of value to yours. We're going to crush this thing together. Let's go do it. And we were both kind of starting our own syndication company. So we just joined forces flat out, right? Which is why he actually, these are his words. He said, I wasn't going to leave corporate America for another year, but with you and I on the same team, I think I could do this in the next 2 months. I'm out of here. Like he literally quit 10 months early because he's like, he just believed, right? That's the power of what I call unlikely mentors or even partnerships that you just didn't know existed. What's really important is to figure out what are your strengths and weaknesses. They talk about that a lot. Let me give you an example. My strength, no doubt about it, is being in front of people. I love it. I love all you guys. Like I love these conversations. I love people being fired up. I love being fired up by other people. It's what makes me tick. I don't mind being on stages. I don't mind talking to investors. I've had over 1200 investor calls, right? Paul is not that way. Paul's fine with people. He talks with investors and stuff, but he's like, I don't really want to be out there. I'm fine, right? But Paul's amazing at systems, infrastructure, analytics, detail. He was a construction engineer. That's his sandbox. He loves it. So I knew all of that stuff that I can do and I've done and I was pretty good at single family. It's not the stuff I want to be spending my time on. I'm not passionate about spreadsheets. He's very good at problem solving. So we identified that in each other. And it's not that I can't do and I don't do a lot of other things. Believe me, I do deal with a lot of the lending, the debt, investor relations, stuff like that. But we found this massive strength in each other and the two of us were enough to do a lot. Then we identified what could we peel off our responsibilities to create another position, director of investor relations, admin, finance manager, compliance manager, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And that's how you start scaling.
Cool.
Do you have a marketing company you recommend?
Yes, me. I don't offer my services and I don't want your money. Yes. No, that's a great question, Flint. And here's the answer. I've hired a lot of marketing companies, a lot, and we've spent money and we've tried. And nobody seems to understand what we do, right? They really just don't get it right. Everything's boilerplate, it's templated, it's not what we want. We got to tweak it. It's constant phone calls. It's like, you need someone on your team that has the content in their head that can guide somebody to build out content. Now, we do have an assistant that does some of our marketing, right? We pay her. She's awesome. And she does posts for us. So now she's getting to know us. I give her ideas. I have a podcast where I'm 15 to 30 minutes. And it's really geared towards just educating our investors and telling stories and interviewing people, investors, not other syndicators. I'll send that to her. She'll edit it. She'll get it out. She'll do some social alongside it. That's great. But to have anyone build like full-blown newsletters or social posts with detail, man, I have not found anybody that can do it right. Now, if you have the scale of a Jill Fairless, a Dan Hanford, a Michael Blanc, you probably can do that. You can pay $5,000 a month and like, that's fine. I don't want to do that and don't know that I'm even at the scale to do that for marketing. I'd rather just give my own content the best way I know how, which is going on webinars, podcasts, some social posts, meetups, stages. And then all the rest is left to my assistant. We don't have somebody who just goes crazy on our newsletters. It's our internal team that builds out basics on newsletters. I'm sorry, Flint. Trust me, I wish I had the answer to that question, but I have not found him. And I've hired 8 or 9 different marketing companies. No one understands us the way we do.
Yeah. Funny story about Joe's team. So I talked to the director of marketing for Joe's team, and I was like, hey, you got any referrals? And she's like, she was freelance actually. And Joe hired her out of freelance. And she's like, it's so niche that she can't even refer me to anybody else.
Right. I spoke with her. It might be the same lady I spoke with a couple of years ago. And I've spoken to many people that do this for others, but it's usually their internal team or they've cultivated a relationship where they kind of get them. It takes time, right? Unfortunately, we can't just hand it off to somebody and it just goes because it's not going to be done right. Right. But that doesn't mean, Flint, you need this massive marketing machine. If you were just doing some Facebook posts for your deal and then just doing an audio only podcast that gave you some thought leadership, right? Or a blog or whatever it is, that's enough. You don't have to do all of it. You can drive a lot of awareness with very simple movements, but they have to be intentional. I hope that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, cool. We're going to wrap it up here in a few minutes. So I'll give you guys a chance to do one more question. Jenny, did I see you raise your hand or was that a flinch?
Jenny's okay. Like, not me. No way.
I'm more like Chris's CEO. I'm the Paul.
Love it. We love you, Jenny, and all of you. There is no way you can scale significantly, especially like at the scale we did, without really good people. I know they say that, but it's the right people. It's the right personalities. So even if it's one, two of you can do so much, right? So just really focus on that.
Who's all on your team right now? You mentioned syndicator team. So
yeah, let's see. I've got human resources. I've got a finance manager, a fund manager. I've got an asset manager. I've got a director of investor relations. I've got my COO, CEO, me. I've got a compliance director that's coming on here pretty quick. So, I mean, that's just off the top of my head. Oh, we have a couple of admins. And then, man, I think at least 4 CPAs and 3 different attorneys we work with, in addition to all kinds of supporting cast.
Insane. And you just started like 4 years ago.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least in syndication, amazing. Right? Because you mentioned you're an entrepreneur for 25 plus years.
Yeah. 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 And then Tycoon now, which we're going to put a lot of energy into, right? So
I can't wait.
Pretty
to
exciting.
See
very yeah. Exciting. Thanks, man.
All right. Rock and roll with that. We're going to wrap it up here. So thank you so much, Chris. It's been a blast, dude. I got to invite you back so we can have a one-on-one conversation on the podcast and get into some other crazy topics of interest. But with that, thank you everybody for coming on. The replay should be available in probably about 48 hours or less. That'll be my guarantee to you guys. And with that, we'll see you on the next one. Thanks again.